Over the past 6 years, the United States has set out to revamp how healthcare works. The effort has been to lower costs and increase coverage. As of this year, after those changes, Milwaukee has some of the most expensive health insurance in the country. That's according to statistics compiled by the company GoHealth.
It ranks fifth among most expensive large cities in each state at an average of $333 a month for a silver plan, which is the suggested level of coverage under the Affordable Care Act. Compare that with our neighbors in Minnesota. The average in Minneapolis is the third cheapest at $183 a month, and the least expensive is Albuquerque, New Mexico at $171 a month.
Here to talk about why Milwaukee's health insurance is expensive is Michael Mahoney. He's a healthcare expert and senior vice president of consumer marketing for GoHealth, a website that matches people with health insurance plans. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what data did you look at? How did we figure out that Milwaukee ranks among the most expensive cities when it comes to healthcare plans?
Sure. It's based on publicly available data, some of it from Health and Human Services and the rest from the Kaiser Family Foundation. It's based on the 2015 premiums using a 40-year-old non-smoker making about $30,000 a year. And we looked at the subsidized premium and the unsubsidized premium.
So what cities did you include in this research?
Similar cities, Detroit, Boston, Portland, Baltimore, you know, major cities around the U.S. There were 51 cities involved in the study. What we were trying to do is answer the question that we get most often, which is, what does health insurance look like for me next year? And for us, we operate in all 50 states, so we wanted to make sure we had a global view of what that looks like for most consumers as they headed into open enrollment.
And we mentioned the silver plan. I think that's defined by the Affordable Care Act. What kind of coverage does that give us?
Well, there are several different levels of coverage, you know, from bronze up to platinum. Silver was really what the ACA was designed around. It was a relatively good amount of coverage. So it's really what the those that wrote the law were designing consumers to sign up for. So it's really what consumers should look for when purchasing a plan.
So I guess the mystery here is why Milwaukee is expensive compared to cities around the country. What kind of cities usually ended up at the more expensive end of the spectrum?
Sure. Well, last year, for example, one of the most expensive areas to insure was a rural area, Summit County, Colorado. And that makes sense because there's fewer choice when it comes to health care systems. So the amount that a health insurance company can negotiate with a health care provider is usually constrained. The more health insurance providers there are, the more competition and the lower the rates through those negotiations. Also, the more insurers that are in an area, usually the lower prices, there are lower prices because there's more competition amongst insurance companies. There's usually one that says, hey, I'm going to drop my price to get a greater share of the market. What's interesting to note is that Milwaukee is neither rural, nor is there a little bit of competition. I mean, there's a lot. There's 15 insurers that represent over 150 plans in the area. So there's a lot of choice. So it is very curious that it is one of the highest and most expensive premium areas in the nation.
And some other cities in your top five seem to be higher cost of living places. Is that right?
That's correct. The cost of living does have an impact on it, as well as regulatory action. The states can still determine what are acceptable and unacceptable premium increases by state. So that, too, has caused a lot of areas to have lower and or higher costs.
So Milwaukee, as you said, not rural. It has a fair amount of competition. It's not a high cost of living city. So what's the deal with the higher cost of these silver level premiums in the city?
I wish I knew. If I knew, then we could counteract it. We could get a lot. We could get a lot of people a better deal. But the important thing to mention is that this is all unsubsidized premium, and then that's really the punchline. So, although Milwaukee, as you said, does differ from the other four most expensive cities, I mean, they're all rural. Anchorage, Alaska, Burlington, Vermont, not as rural, Cheyenne, Wyoming, and then New York City is a prime example of higher cost of living. The one thing to keep in mind is once you factor in premiums or premium subsidies, for the example we're talking about, 40-year-old non-smoker, there are 47 cities. 47 out of these 51 all have the same premium. So the real punchline is make sure that if you're eligible for a subsidy, that you get it, because it can very much bring down your cost.
So the subsidy for the person in, say, Milwaukee, getting this more expensive health insurance, that subsidy could well fill the gap as they would pay, you know, for what they would pay in another city versus Milwaukee.
Oh, that's correct. It would take that $333 premium on average down to $208, which would put it on par with many other cities, 47 out of the 51 that we looked at.
So I suppose from the perspective of somebody managing health coverage under the Affordable Care Act, they'd like to see the cost go down in Milwaukee to lower the subsidy they'd have to pay to fill that gap.
Oh, one would assume so. I mean, the subsidies are to try to make health insurance more affordable for people that are either signing up for the first time or coming off a different type of insurance, be it group, COBRA, or individual that is expiring.
So what kind of things might help drive those premiums down? You said there's a fair amount of competition already. Is it likely that either one of the already existing competitors might go wildcat and start dropping their rates, or that there might be a new player seeing an opportunity here?
Well, both of those have happened actually this year, especially with new players. The co-ops that were formed specifically for the ACA, they needed to achieve a certain member base in order to be solvent, to have a stable group to spread the risk across. And then existing players were looking at it, especially ones that came back into the market this year, and trying to figure out how they gained market share. And you're right, dropping price is one of the main ways to do that. But you got to be careful. If you drop price too much, then you won't have enough revenue to cover the costs of those new lives that you're insuring. I do think next year and the year after we'll see less price volatility, simply because the insurers that are competing in each one of the marketplaces will have seen what it actually costs to provide coverage to the people that they've signed up, and there'll be more reticence to have wild swings in premiums.
Now, you're looking at the biggest cities in each state. Does what's happening in Milwaukee give us any indication of what might be happening in the rest of Wisconsin, or have you seen that happening around the country?
In general, the trends that we see across the country do apply to Wisconsin, the rural versus city, lots of choice versus little when it comes to negotiating costs with healthcare providers. But again, that's why the study's so interesting, because Milwaukee very much sticks out. It's not rural. There's a ton of choice. So one would think they would have one of the lowest costs. You know, the only way to truly know for sure is to have a backroom ear into what happened with insurance companies and hospital systems and their negotiations, and also look at the true cost of care. You know, what does it truly cost an insurance company to provide care for somebody in Milwaukee? Without knowing that, we don't know actually what drove these decisions.
I'd like to compare and contrast. How does Milwaukee stack up with what's going on in neighboring big cities, places like Chicago or Minneapolis-St. Paul? How do they stack up when it comes to cost, and what's different about them that explains the differences?
Sure. Well, Chicago, prior to subsidy, it's the opposite end of the spectrum. If Milwaukee's number five and most expensive, Chicago's 41 and Minneapolis is number 47. After subsidies are applied, though, Chicago's exactly on par with Milwaukee, and that's why it's so That's why it's so important for people that are eligible for subsidy to make sure they get the maximum subsidy, not only their advanced premium tax credit, but if they choose a silver plan, cost sharing reductions, because that truly does take insurance for a lot of people from unaffordable to affordable.
Now, is state policy an issue here? Wisconsin rejected some of the federal funding for Medicaid expansion. Some of our neighbors, Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa, and Michigan, took that money, I believe, in all those cases. Does that play into the cost of premiums at the local level?
It does, but it's hard to say which way it's affecting it. You know, on one hand, people that are either eligible and have not signed up for Medicaid, what they would call woodworkers, would also sign up and claim benefits on the system. At the same time, there's a strong case to be made that by not expanding it, people in the system are able to have a much lower cost from the insurers that are providing it. So, again, without knowing the exact specifics of how it impacts each at a local level, it's really hard to say. But again, these are the premiums that are unsubsidized. So the real impact study is going to be after February 15th. Once open enrollment has closed, how many people in Milwaukee actually signed up and how many actually got a subsidy? Because if the people signing up are all obtaining subsidies, or it's like last year and it's over 78% are obtaining subsidies, then Milwaukee is actually quite affordable.
Now, this is a snapshot, these numbers we're talking about. You also took this snapshot last year. How have things changed between then and now?
Well, last year we very much saw things like that rural rule hold true. You know, rural areas were, in every state, more expensive than urban areas. I think the big difference this year, and I'm entirely hypothesizing in terms of the impact on Milwaukee, is that both insurers and hospital systems were able to take a look at almost 1 year of care for people that had signed up under the Affordable Care Act and have a better estimate of what that would cost them moving forward. So I think this year it's very much a reaction to last year's cost structure, which makes me think that next year and the year after we'll very much see a flatlining in terms of premium changes within a state for the average user.
Well, that's really interesting. So we were, in effect, in uncharted territory last year. For better or worse, we're going to see things shake out and get an idea of what things really do and maybe should cost as these things settle down?
One would definitely hope so, yes.
So what are you watching for? You mentioned the enrollment numbers coming up in February. What should we be watching out for to see how these premium costs go over the next year? And if we talk to you, you know, at the next year's snapshot.
Well, it's really up to each carrier. It depends on what the carrier, the insurance company or insurance carrier is trying to achieve in that market that year. This year we saw some insurance carriers that said, in this market I have to have a larger share of the population, so I'm going to drop my rates to gain market share. Other insurance companies looked at it and said, man, that area, just I can't provide the level of service and or it's not as profitable as I want, so I'm going to keep my rates where they are, knowing I might lose market share. You know, other ones said, I have a big name out there, everybody's going to choose me, so I'm not going to make a change. So the real impact is, for me, at the end of open enrollment, I'll be looking at a lot of the new entrants and seeing how many people they signed up, and then using that to project what will their rates be next year based on the gap between their membership goals and what they actually signed up during the second year of open enrollment.
Now, pre-Affordable Care Act, healthcare costs and insurance premiums kept going up substantially year after year. That's part of the problem, I guess, that the Act was trying to solve. Have we seen changes? Has that been tapering off, that increase in cost?
Well, it's hard for me to answer that because I think people have a misunderstanding when they're talking about cost. A lot of consumers are thinking just about premium, and that's really not the cost of healthcare. It's your premium plus your expenditures on your actual care. So you might look at a person now that says, hey, you know, I save money and this is great, but my deductible went from $2,500 to $7,500 or $10,000 or $12,500. So what it really takes is a few years of people actually using their care and then comparing their out-of-pocket costs with their prior out-of-pocket costs. And that's a question a lot of people are having is, what is the usage for all the new entrants, either people that didn't have coverage or people that were shifting from a group or COBRA or their own pre-ACA plan, and how are they using coverage today, and how does that impact their out-of-pocket costs?
A lot to untangle. Michael, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
That's Michael Mahoney. He's a healthcare expert and senior vice president of consumer marketing for GoHealth, looking at the costs of healthcare in Milwaukee and beyond.